Good morning. Oh, that's great. It's good to have you all here this morning. A couple of quick announcements before our first slide. On 2 weeks from yesterday, which will be the 18th, we hope to get as many people as we can to go to the United Methodist Children's Home in Enterprise. Hoping to make the arrangements to take the new bus if we can. If you would like to come along on that trip, please, on the bottom of your attendance slip, indicate that, and then I'll get back in touch with you as far as the time. The day there actually begins at 8, so it'll be an early start, but we'll be home by late afternoon. It's an incredible experience, and if you can go, I hope that you certainly will. Please sign on the bottom of your attendance sheet. Also, if you saw the announcements on the loop before worship, if you have ordered the Bible on CD or tape, those are in. Please pick them up at the information station, and you can make the checks payable to Trinity. On the inside of the bulletin, you'll see that we're well underway with our Lenten activities. Tomorrow at noon, we'll be having our first time where we walk with the saints. Tomorrow, we'll be walking the path of understanding, and I'll be talking about Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine, two giants of the faith when it comes to theological belief. We still are the recipients of a lot of the thought that they had. Also, Wednesday night, we'll be having our first renewal supper and worship. Jane Pierce will be back in town and will be speaking with us. We'll be celebrating communion as well. If you would like to eat the dinner that night and you have not made a reservation yet, please fill out that portion and tear it off and give it to the ushers. And finally, one last announcement for our first slide, and Dan may talk about it a little bit later. Tuesday night at 7 o'clock is a church conference for final approval for the prayer chapel and the athletic fields. It's very important that as many people come as can. That's Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Our first slide deals with Metamorphosis, which is Trinity's grief support group. It's an 8-week session beginning this Thursday. They meet in the parlor. If you have lost someone, you know, over a while and are still trying to deal with that, please call Bob or Pam for information. Their numbers are on the screen. Or certainly you can call the church office during the week. So Metamorphosis will be beginning this Thursday night. And tonight we're having our first Celebration of the Arts here. There is such incredible talent at Trinity, and many of them are coming together to put on a wonderful show. I've got a program here. People such as Hannah Peterson, Sammy Head, Courtney Warner, Tim Mutchlechner, some of the youth are performing. It should be a wonderful night. Looking at this, it looks like Janet is accompanying about everybody there. So an incredible combination of talent, and we hope you'll be able to be here tonight at 7 o'clock here in the Worship Center. Our call to worship this morning comes from the hymn, I Come With Joy. So let us begin our worship now. We come with joy to meet our Lord, forgiven, loved, and free, in awe and wonder to recall His life laid down for me. I come with Christians far and near to find, as all are fed, the new community of love in Christ's communion bread. As Christ breaks bread and bids us share, each proud division ends. The love that made us makes us one, and strangers now are friends. And thus with joy we meet our Lord, His presence always near. Is in such friendship better known, we see and praise Him here. May the Spirit of the living God fall afresh on us as we affirm our faith using the Methodist social affirmation. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us, that all may have enough in all responsible use of the earth's resources. Amen.
As I look out this morning at each one of you, I have said a little prayer that says, "Thank you, dear God, for these dear people." Isn't it wonderful that we can worship together as a church family? As we come to our moments of private and personal prayer, may each one of us take a few moments to thank our loving God for our many blessings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the world you have given us. Help us look and listen for you in all you have created. Thank you for the joys and celebrations in our lives. Bring comfort, dear Lord, to those of us who need your healing touch this day. Fill us with the assurance that you are with us always, surrounding us with your love and care. Today's words of Scripture tell us that you loved us and your world so much that you sent your Son to save the world. Your incredible gift encourages us to do all we can to preserve and protect your creation. Guide us to think beyond ourselves and our borders, that we might lovingly embrace all of your people, celebrating what we have in common rather than our differences. We are grateful for the sacrament of communion that connects and binds us not only to you, but to our brothers and sisters around the globe. Help us find ways to strengthen these worldwide connections. During this season of Lent, may we take time to concentrate and focus on you. How might we share the good news of your word with others, reaching out and drawing them closer to you? All of these things we ask in the name of Christ our Lord, who taught his disciples to get when they gathered together to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Thank you, Jean. It is great to see all of you here. Oh, doggone it. Sorry about that, Joe. It's good to see all of you here. And many of you really appreciated Dr. Ellsworth Callis when he was here and would like to have those CDs And they're, for all of the sessions, which were several hours, they're $15. If you want to put an order in on your fellowship pad as it comes by or call us, we'll be glad to make those for you. That's for Ellsworth Callis. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever heard the Lake Junaluska Singers? Anybody ever heard them? Oh, good. Here's the deal. They're outstanding. I mean, they're really amazing. But a lot of people in Gainesville have never heard them. And in order for us, and they want to come on June 21st. In order for us to make that happen, we need a team of people who really believe in them passionately to help us make that happen. So if you could let us know, if you'd be willing to help sort of be a design team, we would very much appreciate that. Speaking of talent, tonight at 7 o'clock, several DJ or any Sunlight people singing tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. And playing, maybe, and... a cornucopia of musical extravaganza. It's pretty good, DJ. Yeah. It is going to be a great night, and there's going to be some Mozart and some contemporary and some lots of very nice stuff tonight at 7 o'clock. Welcome, first-time visitors, if you're new among us, and welcome some people who normally come to 11 o'clock. I see you there, and you're here because you want to get home in time to watch the beginning of the basketball game. So you came to this service instead of that one, but that's great. If you're new among us, would you raise your hand and let us just say hi to you? If you're new, would anybody here for the first time? Way back there, could you shout out your name and where you're from? Ken and Ruth from San Diego, California. Welcome. Yeah, Mark's going to have a mic, and if he can help with anybody else new visiting. Over there. Oh, good. Keep going, Mark. Oh, Fran. Say that one more time in just a second, Fran.
All right. Oh, hello. My granddaughter, Lauren Corshot, is here for visiting from Indiana.
Welcome, Lauren. Great to have you here. Anybody else new among us? Somebody here?
Can you want to tell us who you are?
I'm Helen Downing, and I'm with my sister Alice, and we are from Tampa, Florida.
Welcome. Super nice to have you. Anybody else? Everybody.
Hi, Becky and Trip Maloney. We're visiting my mother, Becky Garvin, and we're from Atlanta, Georgia.
Welcome from Atlanta. Anybody else? Yes, tell us who you are and where you're from. You're from here in Gainesville, and you decided to try the best church in town. Is that what you said? I thought that's what you said. Now, tell us your first names. Amanda and
Leslie.
Welcome. Welcome. Actually, anybody else? Speaking of that, did you all see the newspaper, the article this morning? You know, whenever the newspaper calls and says they want to talk to me, I think, oh, dear, I don't know if they're going to quote me right. But actually, I liked the article. It was about mega churches. I said, you know, that's not who we see ourselves as. We're not that. And we focus, how did I say that? Our concern is meeting needs, not meeting numbers, or reaching needs, not reaching numbers. In fact, that leads me to two things. One, if you see in your bulletin, there's lots of stuff there, but could you pull out the insert a second, if you wouldn't mind? Types of prayer is at the top, and then prayers for the world. As I say inside the cover, I just feel a real burden for the world. And so on the one side is types of prayer by Richard Foster's book. I just sort of pulled those out and sort of a brief definition and just an encouragement in your own prayer time, simple prayer, prayer of examine, etc. And I think those are really helpful to you. And they are to me. And then on the other side is prayers for the world. And you might have your own pattern already. But I just want to invite you to have a regimen, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, prayers for the world. And here's some suggestions. Modify it, change it. And you also received, I trust as you came in, a little piece of paper. Did you receive that blank piece of paper? Did everybody receive a blank piece of paper? How many did not receive a little blank piece of paper? Oh, Maybe ushers, could you come up and while I'm talking, come, maybe bring that paper up to the front. What I'd like you to do is write out some prayers for the world. And when you come up for Holy Communion, we'll place them in the baskets at each table. And at the end of the service, we'll place them on the altar. I believe real strongly if we lift our prayers to God for the world, that it'll be a big help. So I would just encourage you to do that in that spirit. I'll talk more about that in the sermon. Ushers, if you would come way up to the front, I think you could maybe see their hands up better if you have, if you don't have a, just raise your hand if you don't have a piece of paper. While you're doing that, I want to read an email, or part of one I got on Friday. It relates to this thing this morning in the newspaper. This person says, "Hi, Pastor Dan. A year ago at the Easter Vigil service, I joined Trinity." And that's actually the Saturday before Easter, if you're interested in that. "I just want you to know that for me, it was a life-changing event. When I was a child, up to my high school years, I was active in church. And then I became a teenager, a young adult, and I guess I just thought I knew it all or could make it all on my own. I didn't turn away from God, but I didn't turn to Him either. This pattern continued through into adulthood. And then I had my first child, and everything seemed to get out of kilter. Lots of emotions. My life seemed to be spinning out of control. Then my son turned two and started Stepping Stones. And I came to Trinity, and everyone was warm and welcoming, and I liked what I saw. And it reminded me of my youth and how much I loved attending Sunday school. And I made it a point to start attending Sunday morning services, and I loved it. And I joined your wonderful church, and every visit to Trinity continues to draw me closer. To me, it's amazing that a church with such a large congregation could seem so warm and inviting. It is like being home. I love the fact that Trinity is a big part of my son's life, from Stepping Stones to Cheers to Sunday school. And when I hear him constantly singing songs about God, it just melts my heart. The children's department at Trinity is absolutely amazing. I sure hope they all know how important they are, from the team in the office to Miss Jennifer and her wonderful way of bringing music to the children, all who help with Sunday school and Cheers. A year ago, I joined Trinity, and now this Easter Vigil service this year, you will be baptizing my son." Well, I think this says it all. It's not the size, it's the personal connections. In fact, as we stand and greet each other in just a second, would you mind sharing with somebody near you the thing that is most meaningful to you about being a part of Trinity? What's most meaningful to you about being part of Trinity? Whether it's Sunday school or small groups or whatever it might be. Would you stand and greet each other that way, and we'll sing our song.
As the ushers come forward, I was hoping that you could all hear, as we all said the Lord's Prayer together, that we were being led by a child. Could you hear that? We're so grateful that Billy's back there helping to lead us in prayer. We'd like to just ask you, if you would be so kind as take out this small insert in your bulletin this morning. I just had such joy as I read 06 SBYMM, Spring Break Youth Medical Mission Trip, going to Nicaragua, and I wonder if any of those young people or the adults going with them are in our congregation today. Would you raise your hand? Anyone going on the medical trip? I see one hand over here. Several. We're so grateful that these wonderful people are going for us to reach out in the name of Christ. And as you read this list, I know you'll be very touched by the number of people whose lives are changed because people in our congregation are going to share that love. So if you are able, if you would put your extra mile of giving into the mission box this morning for this very special medical mission trip that will be going in April. Let us pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for this day and all of our many blessings. We are grateful for all that you have given us. And now we come to return a portion of those gifts to you. We ask that you bless these gifts and those who give them, that they may be used in wonderful ways in our community and throughout the world to make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I love it when the newspaper uses theological language. I'm not talking about today's paper. I'm talking about Thursday's paper. After Florida had beaten Georgia and Joachim Noah had the game of his life. And right under here, just like his namesake, in Genesis 6 through 9, Noah saved the world. This says Noah saves UF, which is what happened, really. I mean, the guy took over the game. I mean, it was played an amazing game. How'd it go? 37 points, more points than anybody had made in the O'Connell Center in nearly a quarter of a century. I just realized I forgot to do the scripture, didn't I? Let it be. Let's see. Let's go ahead. Gee. I don't know quite how to pull this back. Very familiar text, John 3:16, but this has been on my heart in many ways. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In a passage from Isaiah 59 that I not long ago heard one of my mentors speak about, and some of his thoughts are with me today. This is about God's love for the world and his concern for the world and how far the world had strayed from God's intentions. And God is looking for an individual. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands at a distance, for truth stumbles in the public square and uprightness cannot enter. Truth is lacking and whoever turns from evil is despoiled. The Lord saw it and it displeased him that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one and was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm brought him victory and his righteousness upheld him. Now you'll remember this from Ephesians chapter 6. I had not made that connection with this. Ephesians 6 from Isaiah 59. He put on righteousness like a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing and wrapped himself in fury as in a mantle. The reading of God's word. Now, back to Joachim Noah. Unlike God, UF had somebody who could save UF, at least in that particular game, and we're praying that'll happen this afternoon. 37 more points than anybody in a quarter of a century. 19 free throws, a record that had stood for almost a half a century. And you know, part of what propelled Joachim Noah to greatness that night was that his father, Yannick, and his grandfather, Zachary, came into the game. In the paper it said he saw when they came in. You could not mistake them. They stood out. Yannick had been there before. Yannick, the great tennis player. Zachary, the great soccer player from Cameroon, where two of our young people are in the Peace Corps, Mike and Aaron Nylon. And he was on the team that won the French Cup in 1961. Afterwards, I mean, and Joachim played beyond imagination. He just played extremely, extremely well, inspired. In the interview later, he said, you know, my grandfather is such an inspiration to me. After a freshman season where his playing time was limited, his spirits were sagging. He went to visit his grandfather in Cameroon. Grandfather was an inspiration to me, Noah said. Going back to Africa helped me a lot mentally. He helped me get through it. He told me to, listen to this, stay humble, stay strong. There's a piece of Africa in my heart. Those are the words I want us to hear today. Stay humble, stay strong. Hubert, you wrote about humility the other day. I appreciate your Wednesday column. I appreciate it very much. How rare that is. Stay humble. Stay strong. There's a piece of my roots in my heart. His grandfather inspired him. There is a connection, isn't there, to our past that's more powerful than we often recognize. This story reminded me of the story that maybe you've heard. Not sure if it's true or not. It's a few years old. It's about a boy who played Division II football. Well, he didn't play. He was on the team, but he never was good enough to play. But he was always there, always hardworking, always engaged, did the best he could. He just didn't have the ability. The coach had never met his father, but he saw him and his father walking on campus occasionally. And one time soon before the big game, the boy came to the coach and said, Coach, I'm going to have to miss practice for a few days. My father passed. Is it all right if I go home? The coach said, sure, go on home. And you don't have to get back for the game. Oh, no, I'll be back. And just as he was about to leave through the door, he turned to the coach and said, Coach, I have one request. And the coach said, sure, anything. As soon as he said that, he thought, I shouldn't have said that. He said, what is it? He said, I'd like to start the game on Saturday, if I could. Coach said, sure. And then after the boy left, said, what did I do and why did I do it? The boy went, came back. Sure enough, the coach let him start the game. And this kid played beyond what anybody could imagine. Every time he touched the ball, he would dodge and he would move and he would go and he would score touchdown after touchdown. And everybody wondered, who was this kid? And at halftime, the coach got him and by himself and said, what's going on? You're not this good. You don't know how to play this well. He said, Coach, you don't understand. My father who died was blind, and this is the first game he ever saw me play. There's something about what our ancestors do for us. What that connection with the past, if we'll let it. This mentor that I've mentioned, his wife died. I mentioned him a couple weeks ago. They've been together probably 60 years. And some of us talked to him. He said, she's gone, but she's not gone. She's with me every day. Did you ever talk to her? Oh, yeah, I talk to her all the time. This past week and a half, I had a meeting up in Kentucky, and I went back to that meeting, but I planned to go back a day earlier or so because my family, for 200 years, have been making maple syrup on our family farm. My ancestors came to that family farm in Ohio in 1806. You know, when you grow up there, you don't appreciate all that rich heritage. And so I went back and I joined in, and it was cold. It was actually too cold for the sap to run. And so I had some time. I went down to Mom and Dad's grave and my grandfather's grave and Grandma's grave. All the brothers and two uncles got together for lunch at the local cafe. You could tell I was off my diet that I'd been touting because we had beef and noodles over mashed potatoes. Black raspberry pie and ice cream. I mean, it was good stuff. I walked through the woods, and everywhere I went, I had memories of people 200 years making maple syrup. Otho and Roberta and Mom would make maple syrup candy and maple cream. She'd use a cream paddle and whip that stuff And when we got out of line, she used the paddle for other reasons, other things. And Alfred and Ruth and Laura and Jacob, 200 years. And last night, oh, I need to hurry. Last night I was alone because Jan was at a retreat with her sister. They go every year to this women's retreat in Leesburg, and they look forward to it a lot. I was sitting there alone listening to the radio, and the song, Oh Danny Boy, came on. It was one of my dad's favorite songs, and therefore he named me Danny. He didn't want me to be called Dan, but you call me Dan. Don't call me Danny. And it's a love song between, I think, a father and a son. All these years, I've never really heard the words carefully. But even after someone dies, there's that connection. Stay humble. Stay strong. Stay connected to your past. Now, the text today talks about God so loved the world. And in Jeremiah and five places in the Old Testament, God loved the world, but he needed a human representative to stand in the gap. Because here was God with all of God's resources, and here was the world, and he needed someone to stand in between. Here's the world with all of its needs. There are five of these texts, at least. Jeremiah 5 says, God says, if I could just find one person, but he couldn't. Ezekiel 22, verse 30, enormous problems in the world. God said, I looked for one person to stand in the gap, but I couldn't find one. Isaiah 50, Isaiah 63. I looked and there was no one. Isaiah 59, you read that when you go home. It's issue upon issue and conflict upon conflict and chaos and killing and devastation. And just like the newspaper reads today, and God's heart was heavy as our heart is heavy for the world. And God said, I looked and the world was in a mess and I needed somebody to stand in the gap. And I'm asking you and me today to stand in the gap. Through prayer. When I was in seminary, Gethsemane Seminary, where Thomas Merton was not far from us, and I would go over there and have a retreat at Gethsemane. And the monks believed that their prayers held the world together. I think they're right. And if 1,000 people or 1,200 people, if we pray during Lent, maybe something will happen in the world. And so, either through the sermon or at the end of the sermon, if you'll write a prayer and we'll place it in the basket and bring it up and place it on the altar before God. Stay humble, stay strong, stay connected. Two of the towering figures of the Bible lived a life out of prayer, and some of the biggest change that ever happened took place. Moses, Paul, God used them to change the world. As I say, Isaiah 59 describes a world like ours in difficult shape. God's love is extended towards the world. He looked for somebody and there was nobody. And you and I will not be that somebody. None of us is righteous enough. But we're all right enough to pray. And so I'm going to invite you to pray. We could talk politics, and some need to, and that's good for you to talk politics. But in a world like ours, with a trinity like a church like this, we're at very different places. And we could talk who's right and who's wrong, and some people need to do that. And we can shout and blame and analyze, and people need to do that. And I appreciate editorials, but the church needs to pray. Whether we're right or wrong, let's be humble enough to call upon God. The person God was looking for in Isaiah 59 could not be found. And you and I are not that person. When God couldn't find someone, he had to become the right person. And that's what he says in John chapter 3. God so loved this world that he became one of us. He sent his only son. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray, and God has laid upon him and in him all of the wrongdoing of the world. And so a God of immeasurable resources and a world of great need was joined together in the person of Jesus the Christ. And that's a mystery that we come close to in the celebration of Holy Communion, that somehow Jesus, when he took the bread and the cup and said, this is my body broken for you and my blood shed for you, somehow in that act, he united a loving God in a broken world, and he united a loving God and a broken person, you and me. And in a great act of grace, God said we are made one in Jesus the Christ. Stay humble. Stay strong. Stay connected to the God who loves you. Would you pray with me? Well, God, in this time of prayer, we acknowledge that you, in your infinite love for us, sent your Son Jesus. And right now, somebody is receiving your only Son into their life, maybe for the very first time, maybe for the 100th time. And we give you thanks. God, we make our confession. I make my confession. Sometimes I've not been humble and I've not been strong and I've not stayed connected. I confess that I am prone more to criticize the world than to pray for it. And sometimes I'm prone more to analyzing the world than to praying for it. And sometimes I'm prone to judging groups in the world more than praying for them. Help me, help us during this Lenten season to pray earnestly for your world that you love so much, you gave your only begotten Son, who when he gathered together with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and said, "This is my body broken for you." And so we, in that great tradition of our past, there's a part of that past in us, we take the bread and receive it and acknowledge that this is the body of Christ. And he said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And he invites us and all the world to receive forgiveness and a new start and healing. And we give you thanks. So God, be made known to us in the breaking of bread and the drinking of the cup, that all who come this morning might feel free in this church to come and receive the bread and the cup. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, we would invite you as you come to, as I say, in the United Methodist Church, if you're brand new here, you're welcome to come. Place your card, your prayer request in the basket at the end. The ushers will bring them forward. Mark and I will be adding an additional place of Holy Communion over here because there's a large number of people here. Come to the stations, come to where Mark and I are, and receive. Come as you feel led. Alice and Janet are going to play. Come, if you will.